Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
It's much more than that, because Jesus is describing what lordship is. And if you want to be sure that your salvation is not counterfeit, you've got to understand the fullness of what it means to make him your Lord.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Welcome, truth seekers, to Truth Infusion. Thank you, Corey, for that introduction, and we're excited to be with you today. Excited to be closing up a teaching series that we've been working on for a while now. This is actually the fifth week in that, and it's a very important teaching series, one that I think is really going to reach out to a lot of people. It's entitled Counterfeit Salvation. Counterfeit Salvation. And I'm going to go into more about that in just a few minutes. And kind of review a little bit over what we've talked about for the last 4 weeks, and then we're gonna conclude that tonight. But before we get started on that, I wanted to take some time to welcome a very special guest into the Truth Infusion Studios. And for the first time making his radio debut is my youngest son. His name is Taylor. So Taylor, tell everybody hello.
Hello.
And Taylor, tell everybody how old you are.
I am 11.
He's 11 years old. Born in the month of December, so is our oldest son, Jennifer, and we have three children, Colin, Reagan, and Taylor. Colin, Taylor, both born in the month of December, so they either get a big birthday and little Christmas, or big Christmas and little birthday, and most of the time it's what?
Big Christmas.
Big Christmas and smaller birthday. And all the people out there that have birthdays around Christmas time understand exactly what we're talking about. So this is summertime right now, and you're having a good time this summer?
Yeah.
What's the best thing you've done so far this summer?
We went to the oil museum.
Went to the oil museum with your grandmother in Kilgore, Texas. That's kind of a every summer thing. Y'all go and do that, right?
Yeah.
The main reason I asked Taylor to come on today was I told him earlier in the day I wanted him to find a verse in the Bible that was important to him. And I wanted him to share that verse with us. So what verse did you pick out?
Luke 9:23.
Okay, very important verse. And go ahead and read that for everybody that's listening.
And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me."
Wow, that is a big one. That's Jesus talking. And he said, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross, deny yourself, right? And this has to be an everyday thing. So what does that verse mean to you?
I think it means that the overall thing that really stood out to me is that in order to really be saved, we must renew our faith and submit our lives to Him every day.
Okay. So it's not just something you do on the first day you get saved, and then you hope that lasts from here on out, right?
No.
Now, our salvation is secure in Christ, so we're not going to lose that. But this is a relationship thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a relationship with me just one day out of the year or every day?
Every day.
So we have to work on our relationships every day. And that's really the same thing with Jesus. We have to work on that every day, right?
Yes, sir.
Give ourselves to Him. That's a very good verse. And Taylor, I want you to do one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go. And I'm going to finish up this teaching that we've started, but I always try to start the show with a prayer that God would bless the show. Would you mind praying that prayer today for me being the teacher and for all the people that are listening, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Heavenly Father. We pray that you help Dad, and we pray that you just give him the wisdom from you, Heavenly Father God, to teach the people that are listening, God. And we also pray for the people that are listening that after they listen to this, their hearts will be pricked, God, that you would, from this day forward, God, that from this message that you have given to your people, that they will just do it in your holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen. And that was a little pitch to Nike right there. Just do it. Thank you, Taylor. And with that, Truth Seekers, we're going to get into the rest of this teaching on counterfeit salvation. I hope that you've had the opportunity to be with us in these last few weeks. And if you haven't, this is the first day. I believe that you're going to receive something from the Lord through this, even if this is the only one that you've heard so far. But please go back to truthinfusion.com and pick up the rest of this series, because what we have dealt with in the last month is the concept that a great portion of church-going people, and I'm not going to call them Christians, because the essence of the hypothesis here that is held by many scholars of today and yesteryear, I've listed many scholars and the quotes and the facts and figures and the preferences and prerogatives that they have on this concept. Go back and listen to those shows. I'm not going to do that again today, but many people like Billy Graham, W.A. Criswell, A.W. Tozer, just big men, scholars in the Word, believe that a great number of those that are regular attenders of the church, and I'm talking percentages up to 75, 80, 90% say that they believe that most of those people will never see the kingdom of God. We're not talking about somebody that darkens the door of the church when their life has fallen apart once every few years, or even that person that comes around Christmas time and maybe on Easter. No, we are referring to those that are regular attendees and involved in the day-to-day and moment-to-moment ongoings at your local body. In fact, last week we looked for quite a while at the concept of practice does not make perfect. Dealing with that person with a counterfeit salvation, one that looks and fools a lot of people with how truthful and real that it does appear, because they are doing great things that would be categorized as Christianly acts, spiritual acts, perhaps. We looked at the person that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21 through 23, when that person says, Lord, didn't I preach or prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do the wonderful things, the works and wonders? And Jesus would return to him and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Which causes me to hearken back to a verse that I read a week or two ago from Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, where Paul makes this statement. He says, but now, after you have known God, and then he stops and says, or rather, are known by God. What an amazing point Paul makes right there. It's not, you know, there's an old saying that says, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, that doesn't even go in heaven. In heaven, it's not what you know or who you know, it's who knows you. And Jesus makes one of I made this point earlier, the scariest statement that a man or a woman could ever hear. The scariest line that you could ever be told is if you're in that group where Jesus looks at you and says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And we talked about the fact that practice does not make perfect last week. The week prior to that, we brought up the point that knowledge is not power. When it comes to the things of God and scriptural things and even very correct facts about Christ Himself, you can know and know and know, but that does not mean that your knowledge somehow translates over into true relationship and salvation with the Lord. We know that it does not. Nicodemus was an example of that, because he made an amazingly powerful, doctrinally correct statement about Jesus Christ, and Jesus returned to him immediately by saying, you need to be born again. And if we backtrack 3 weeks ago, we made a great point by saying that seeing is not believing. There's the old statement that says seeing is believing. That does not work in the economy of heaven, in the things of the Lord. Just because you see something and you correctly identify what you see as being godly or from God does not mean that you have relationship with God through Jesus Christ, because it's not correct identifying faith, but it is faith that brings you to a place of submission. Those in John chapter 2 at the end of the chapter say that they believed on him when they saw the miracles that he did, but Jesus did not commit himself to them. You see, they had a right belief in the fact that he was from God, a miracle worker, and he could do some things to radically change their lives. And in fact, they wanted to be around him for that. But that does not mean that they had given their heart and life over to him. You see, there are several avenues or categories of counterfeit salvation that have sucked in and drawn in hundreds and thousands upon thousands that believe with all their heart, or perhaps their life has already come to an end and they believed even at the point of death that they belonged to him because they had a version of Christianity that looked real on the outside, maybe even looked very real in the mirror, but was not, in fact, the one and only true way that you might know that you are saved. And there's no way we could talk of such heavy topics and have such heavy conversations over the last 4 weeks without coming to the place of speaking of how might I know? How can I be sure? What does it take to be sure that what I've got is not counterfeit, but it is the real deal? And that's how we want to close this teaching series out. I want to spend some time setting the counterfeit and the fake and the foolery aside and looking at the real thing. And I want to do that by crossing over a line that we tend to stop at when we discuss salvation in churches. You see, there are a lot of denominations and a lot of churches today spread out across America who get very close to teaching the fullness of salvation. Because if you ask the average churchgoer, that person that has been involved in the church for many years, what does it take to be saved? More than likely, they're going to talk to you about the cross of Christ. And rightly so, because it is the moment in time when salvation and atonement was purchased. They're going to talk to you, perhaps, about their sin. And rightly so, for it is the reason that we need salvation to begin with. We come into this world bent and broken with a heart of sin, a sin nature in us that bends us toward rebellion. It is the reason why King David in the Psalms would say that I was conceived in sin. At the point of conception, David said, and rightly so, I was a sinner. Perhaps had not committed a sin yet, but I had the nature within me that was bent toward rebellion. It was just a matter of time before the sin factory in me began to produce what a sin factory produces, and that is sin. Many people in the church, if you've gone to a good church for any length of time, will talk to you about the cross when it pertains to salvation. We'll talk to you about sin when it pertains to salvation. They might talk to you about the concept of saying a prayer and asking for it, and rightly so. And I want to get to a verse here in a minute when it talks about professing it, confessing it. There is something very important about coming to a place where whatever is happening on the inside is professed or confessed with your mouth. And Jesus even said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And there's something good and right and biblical and scriptural about the confession of the salvation that you have experienced. But I want you to know something. If what we do is talk about the cross and do it rightly, if we talk about sin and do it rightly, and then if we take a person who has a concept of the cross and sin and walk them through a prayer and then leave them to think that they are saved. There are so many people that have done that at a young age in life, only to find out later in life that what they thought they had because they had gone through something a prayer, a walk an aisle. There's a moment in the church when something emotional is going on, and seeing we think is believing, right? And the knowledge we think we have about the cross and sin we believe equates to power. And then practicing the Christianity, walking the aisle and saying a prayer, and we think because we have done these things that it means salvation. Now, I'm not saying to you that you're not saved if you've done these things, but what I am saying is this: there are many, many people, and I want to give you hopefully a couple of examples in just a moment of people that did that type of thing as a child, but they missed something drastically and eternally important. The part of it that we don't preach and teach and disciple enough. And that is this: you can believe and understand the cross, and you have to. You can believe and understand your sinfulness, and you have to. There will be a profession if it's correct and right, yes. But if you miss this other point, there's a very good chance that what you have is counterfeit salvation. And the point that I want to make in the during the rest of this show today is lordship. There must be submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about lip service. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, the verses that we referred to earlier, this person said, "Lord, Lord." They said the word Lord. But Jesus said, "I never knew you." See, it's not what you say with your mouth. It's what you live day to day. Just like Taylor brought that verse out a moment ago and talked about a day-to-day renewable faith, one that is renewed for the Lord every day. Lordship is not lip service. Lordship is lifestyle. And there has to be a starting point and a starting place where you lay it all down at His feet and say, "I give you my life, and will you be my Lord?" You see, here's the point. He can never be your Savior until He is first your Lord. I want to hit a couple of verses to illustrate this, and hopefully I'll have time to give you an example or two, some testimony of how this played out in real life in a couple of services I've been in recently. There was a man that came to Jesus one time, and we'll find this in Matthew chapter 22, and this was a question he asked him. He said, "Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" You may remember this. Jesus replied to him and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And in another gospel, I believe it's Luke stating the same verse, he also says, "with all your strength." Jesus says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And in Luke, in the same phrase, he even ends that part with saying, if you do this, you will live. If you do what? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. The first thing I want to bring out to you is Jesus, in fact, used the word Lord. And if we really were to dig into the Greek here and see how this sentence, this phrase was constructed, really what Jesus said was this: you shall love God as Lord. You shall love God as your Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You see, the heart, the soul, the mind, the strength part, this was just a further explanation of what the concept of as Lord was all about. You've got to make Him your Lord. There is no other way. And if you're not sure what that means, I want to give you a little explanation with this verse as Jesus brought it out, because one of my favorite commentators and scholars that I like to read behind, he expanded this verse by giving explanation to what the phrase is, "with all the heart, with all your soul, with all your mind," fully means, because we take these phrases and we gloss over them like there's some kind of poetic or philosophical thought. It's much more than that, because Jesus is describing what lordship is. And if you want to be sure that your salvation is not counterfeit, you've got to understand the fullness of what it means to make Him your Lord. What does "with all your heart" mean? Well, this scholar puts it this way: it means you will love Him with all the faculties and powers that you have. You will love him supremely. You will love him above all beings and things. And with all the devotion possible, look at how many times the word all is used. He says you will fix your affections supremely on him more strongly than on anything else. And listen to this part right here. With all thy heart, this scholar says it means to be willing to give up all that we hold dear at his command. That verse that Taylor read just as we began, said that you must deny yourself. You know what that means? You've got to be willing to lay it all down because your heart has been taken by your Lord and everything is beneath that as far as your affections are concerned, all your heart. Jesus said, all your soul. This would have been better understood or better translated with all of your life. With every aspect of your living. In other words, to be willing to give up your life to him, not just in theory, not just figuratively, but if he wanted your very life, like Paul, like Peter, like James, like the apostles, like the first generation and the second generation church leaders were willing to give it all up, even their very breath, to devote all your life to his service. Now watch what this means. To the point that you live for him so that you are willing to die for him, if that's what it means. Without a second thought, you'd lay it all down. Why? Because if he is your Lord, you are willing to take that stand. Jesus said, with all your mind. What does that mean, with all your mind? It means to submit the intellect and the will to his will. His mind becomes your mind. Romans 12:2 underlines this concept. It says, you know this, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Paul goes on to say in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also the mind of Jesus, to submit your intellect to his will, to love his word and his gospel more than we do the decisions of our own mind. You see, we've got to become secondary, and he has to become primary. He's got to be Lord. And to ever have him become Savior, he's got to be Lord. True salvation is a gift. It's a gift, not something you earn, not something you create, not something you deserve. It's a gift that is given when we have fully and completely given everything we have and we are to God, once and for all. No playing games. No playing games anymore. No more pretending. Complete submission to his lordship. When he becomes your Lord, he will become your Savior. So you've got to have a knowledge of the cross and what he did for you there. Yes. You've got to understand that you're a sinner. You're hopeless within yourself. You've got to have a Savior. You've got to know that that Savior is Christ through what he did on the cross. But you've got to come to a place where you realize that in order to attain the benefits of Calvary, you have to bow and submit your life once and for all to Christ as your Lord. And when he becomes your Lord, he will become your Savior. I've just got a few minutes left. I want to take these last 4 or 5 minutes to give you an illustration or two as I've seen this be played out in the lives of some particular people that was just breathtaking when it took place. I was in a revival service just recently. In this revival service, we were actually doing the worship, the Truth Infusion Worship Band and myself. And Brother Bill Say was evangelizing. One of the nights, he preached a similar service. The sermon he preached was kind of along the same lines. That night, a lady walked the aisle. Every head in the church spun around. Every jaw dropped to the floor when she took the microphone and she said, I've been playing games with God. I was raised in the home of a preacher. I've been playing piano for 47 years in churches, but I have been playing around with the Lord. I'm ready to stop playing games and make him my Lord. And she gave her life to Jesus Christ that night. Just about a month later, I was preaching at a church in White Oak, Texas, Emmanuel Baptist Church, where God is just doing some fantastic supernatural work right now. Fantastic. They are baptizing people right and left because the Spirit is just, wow, it's powerful. That day I was preaching this sermon, Counterfeit Salvation. I came to the closing of the sermon trying to tie these thoughts together, but before I could get finished preaching, a lady interrupted me as she came down to the front. She said, I've got to talk. She began to confess before the church and the Lord, more importantly, that she had been playing games for years, that she was tired of playing games and she wanted Him to be her Lord. Many things that were spoken through that sermon just registered and rang true in her heart. She had been battling it for years, and she finally came to the place where she laid it all down. Truth seekers, I want you to know this morning, the lady that made that confession before the Lord that Sunday was the preacher's wife, the pastor's wife. And as I put my arms around her and turned to the church and I said, you've seen the courage of one that would be willing to confess before the Lord, I'm tired of playing games. Would you be my Lord today? Would anybody else in this church be willing to do the same thing and be so courageous? An elderly man walked the aisle and stood beside her. He was the Sunday school teacher of the senior class, had been doing this in church for years, gave his life to the Lord that Sunday. That Sunday, the whole youth section emptied out. People of all ages came forward. I'm telling you what the scholars believe, what Billy Graham believed, and what Jesus said in the parable of the sower is true. Potentially 75% of those that are gathered in our churches every Sunday have a counterfeit salvation. And perhaps you do too right now, and you're listening to this today. I ask you to do this. Get real before the Lord and ask Him, have I truly submitted everything to you? Are you my Lord? And if you don't know that for sure, then you have answered your question in a sure fashion. You need to make Him your Lord today. If you're willing to submit it all to Him, and lay it all down. If you're willing to say, be the Lord of my life. The Bible says, a broken and contrite heart He will in no wise cast out. If you'll make Him Lord, He will gladly run to you as your Savior. The old man will pass away, all things will become new, and you will be born into the kingdom of light. Will you do that today? Will you lay the games aside and lay the counterfeit salvation aside and make Him your Lord? If you make that decision today, would you let us know that? Contact us at truthinfusion.com and let us know if you've met the Lord in salvation today. With that, we love you. We're praying for you. You keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.